I've been preaching 53 years. I've been in the church all my life. My mom and dad drove me to church when I was a baby. I think it was the first week I was born in the house, you know. I was born at home. And the first week we started going to church, you know. And we've been going to church. I've been going to church ever since. I've been going to church all my life, you know. But, folks, we need that assurance of going to heaven. We need that sense of assurance that we are going in the right direction, because we can claim that Jesus is mine. Jesus is mine. Now, how do we claim that? Well, notice what the psalm says. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.
This right here is a foretaste of glory divine.
I don't believe that heaven is going to be just an all day singing on the ground, eating dinner on the ground. I think it's going to be a glorious, wonderful thing in the presence of God. So if you believe that, amen. You say amen. I don't know. It's all right. Okay. You know, a lot of people say, if it's just going to be singing like we have down in Crockett, I'm not sure I'm going to sit forever and ever and ever and ever and sing, you know, like that, you know. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I do know this, and I can only imagine, you know. But it's going to be a wonderful thing when we all get to heaven. But it's a foretaste. This is a foretaste of glory divine. Looking around, seeing my brothers and sisters. Notice he says, first of all, you're an heir of salvation. That's why you have that blessed assurance. Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 8 and verse 17. And he said that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Can you imagine? You and I, we're not so good. And you have to forgive me. I lost my notes in my head a while ago, because I was going to say, I've been in this church all my life. And the Bible says it's without spot and without wrinkle. And let me tell you what, my brethren have got more spots and wrinkles than anything I've ever seen. You know what? I want you to know that. We're not perfect. I have been preaching at a congregation, and they got mad at the preacher and fired him, cast him out of his house, you know, not have a place to go. I've been that way. I've had brethren to prosecute me. I've had brethren, when I say prosecute me, not in the law, but in their own courts, you know. But, I mean, the gossip that went on, you know. I've had brethren to persecute me and prosecute me, you know. Matter of fact, I have more brethren that you know, the Bible calls us to be a witness, not a judge or the district attorney. You know, he asked us to be a witness for him. But most of us, we like to be prosecutors and persecutors and that type of people. I haven't ever left my brethren. I've been done every which way in the world, so I'm here to tame, you know. I've been told that I didn't have sense enough to preach, you know. And, of course, I had to agree with them a little bit, you know. But nevertheless, you know, I've been called all kinds of things, and I've been done all kinds of ways in preaching the gospel of Christ over the years, you know. I'm not perfect. My brethren's not perfect. But yet my Bible says that the church is without spot and without wrinkle. Have you ever wondered why? My friend, there's only one reason why. And that's because of Jesus Christ and the blood that washes us every single day. So, Ken, when I look at you, I can see all the spots, I can see all the blemishes, but thank goodness that I'm not the judge. He is. And he looks down through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and he sees it without spot and without wrinkle. It's so like my wife. My wife sees right through me, but she still enjoys the view. And that's what God does. He sees right through me. He knows everything about me. As I told you last night, I stand naked before him. He knows every single thing about me. But I believe with all of my heart that he still enjoys the view. And he says, through John, beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, and that we should be called the children of God. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. I'm an heir of salvation. I've been purchased by God. John the book of Revelation, chapter 5, and verse 9, sees a great multitude, but he also sees the elders there, the 24 elders, and he sees them, and they're singing a song, "Worthy is the Lamb," he says, "because you have purchased from every tribe and every tongue and every nation under heaven this group of people out here that's in heaven." What a wonderful thing that is, that we, you and I have been purchased. No wonder the Apostle Paul will say in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, "You've been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Glorify God in the body of Christ." He will tell the church at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, he says, "I want you to know you need to oversee the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." The church has been purchased. Years ago, my three boys and I had been up to hold a meeting up in Ohio. And that's coming back. We're heading through Kentucky, you know. And the reason we need to be, I'm getting around this, why we need to be purchased. Anyway, we stopped and grabbed Boonville, Kentucky. I forgot. You know, the home of Daniel Boone. My boys were excited. They wanted to come to skin cap, you know, and everything. And as we went into this store, you know, there was all kinds of stuff. But my oldest boy, who at the time was about 5 years old, he, more than the coonskin cap, he saw a barrel of polished rocks. I mean, just playing a rub with their pot. You know, they used to have them, you know. "Daddy, can I have some of those polished rocks?" And I said, and of course, they were just a poor preacher. You don't have to agree with that. Some people said, "I've heard you preach. I know you're a poor preacher." But anyway, he said, "Dad, I'd like to have some rocks." I said, "Some we could get. I can't afford any rocks, you know." So anyway, he said, "Okay." So anyway, we finally did buy some of them. You know, remember that spot we were at? We're going down the road. And in a minute, my middle son said, "Daddy, Mimi's got some of them rocks." I looked back and sure enough, he got some of them rocks. I said, "Well, where'd you get them rocks?" At that store. "Did you pay for them?" "No, sir." "Then you stole them, didn't you?" "Yes, sir." I said, "We're going back." And we had to drive another 15 miles before I could find an exit. You know, but we finally found an exit. Turned around, went back. We got back to the store. I said, "Young man, you're going into the store. You're going to tell that man I stole these rocks and give them back to him. Because I told you we couldn't have them." So he marched himself in. And he told the man, "I stole these rocks." And he got the rocks anyway. Because he was honest, you know, and he told he was. Satan came along and stole us from God. He stole us away from him who created us, away from the one who we were created in his image. He stole us. But Jesus came along and bought us back. He purchased us. Isn't that wonderful? I'm no longer in the stealer's bin. I'm in the purchase bin. I have been purchased by him. And that's what that song says. I'm an heir of salvation. I've been purchased by God. I've been born of the Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 5, "Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." You and I, because of the fact that we have that blessed assurance, that means that you and I have been born of God. And when he says born again, that's what Nicodemus was thinking about, you know. He said, "How can I go back into my mother's womb the second time and be born?" And Jesus said, "Nicodemus, I'm not talking about that because that's impossible." But the actual translation of the word is, "Except a man born from above." Have you ever thought about the fact that when Jesus was born, how was he born? How was he conceived? There was an angel that came to Mary and said, "Mary, you're going to have a baby. Don't worry about it, though, because that baby is going to be because the Holy Spirit is going to touch you." And when he told Joseph, he said, "Joseph, your betrothed is going to have a baby, but don't worry about it because of the fact that that baby is not a man but of God, because the Spirit has touched you. That Spirit, that same Spirit that causes you and I to be born again, is the same Spirit that caused Jesus to be born in the womb of Mary. That's why that we are joint heirs with Jesus, you see. Because of the fact that we both have been born of the Spirit of God. We've been born from above. Jesus was the flesh, God in the flesh, but he was through Mary, being born from the Spirit. And you and I have that wonderful privilege tonight to know that you and I have been born again. When Paul wrote to Titus in chapter 3, verse 5, he said, we've been saved not of the righteousness of our own deeds, not because of the good stuff that we've done, but by his mercy. But by his mercy, he caused us to be born again. He called it regenerated by the Holy Spirit. You and I, we're born of the Spirit. We're children of God. No wonder, again, John writes in 1 John chapter 3, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And when he wrote his gospel in chapter 1 and verse 12, he said, to them who believe in him, he gave the right to become children of God. Not everybody in this world is a child of God. Everybody in this world is a creation of God, but not everybody is a child of God. Only those who have been born of water and the Spirit, they are the children of God. And they're the ones who can exclaim, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory. Of glory divine. Tonight, I want you to leave this place excited. I want you to leave this place assured. I want you to go home and lay your head down on your pillow and knowing that if the Lord comes, you don't have a thing to worry about. I want you to know that if the Lord doesn't come, but if you die tonight, you don't have a thing to worry about because you have eternal life. And it's not something of the great by and by. It's something that you have right now because that's what John said in 1 John 5:13. I've written these things that you may know that you have, not you're going to get, but that you have eternal life. You got it right now. No wonder Jesus said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. Folks, that means that that's an overflowing life. And the reason we can have an overflowing life is because we're heirs of salvation. We've been purchased by God. We've been born of the Spirit. We've been washed in his blood. And you see, you and I can have that peace that passes all of understanding. No wonder Paul will say to the Christians in Philippi, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I see that does away with people on sour pickle. You know, you can't be a Christian to be a sour pickle. You just can't do that. You can't go around frowning all the time. You need to be excited, you know. Go back, what did he say? Do not be drunk with wine. That's intoxicated. He said, do not be intoxicated with wine, but be intoxicated with the Spirit. And the Spirit is living in you and working in you because you've been born again, because you've been purchased, because you've been washed in the blood. You see, that is going to bring happiness and joy and peace. So no wonder Paul will say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus. Getting old ain't fun. I have found out. Last year I had my tailbone removed. But I had complications. I had to have a second surgery, and I was down on my back for about 4 months. Couldn't get up, couldn't drive, couldn't sit up. I was just went from one side of the bed to the other. You know, I didn't like that. A year and a half ago, I came down with bladder cancer. I wake up and these hands are hurting, not like some of you, or you all have got me beat. I'm just telling you about John Paul, okay, because I don't know about your situation, okay? But these old hands, they get to hurt, you know. Woke up the other night, I had a gout in that foot during all this time, you know. Man, tough. When I was a teenage boy, I went to a little singing in a little church in Bogota, Tennessee. And there was an old gentleman got up, and he led a song that I never heard before. As he led that song, I knew he was living it. I could tell by the tone of his voice and the way he led it. And he said this, "Sweeter as the years go by." Amen. Let me tell you, the longer you live as a Christian, it should get sweeter as the years go by. Will the pain get any less? No. Will the problems get any less? No. Will the tribulations get any less? Not necessarily. You know. But it gets sweeter. Because more and more, heaven becomes more and more real. I know where I'm going. As the song says, you know. Looking back at that song, there are those words. It says that, and I have to go back and look at it. He says, "I'm watching and waiting, looking above." You see, when you look above and you look at the wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, all these things down here become strangely dim. You realize how temporary they are. You realize how unimportant they are. Every stick of furniture you got in your house is going to be put in a dump one of these days. You know what? If this world stands long enough, you know what? My daddy moved to a little old farm in Hornby, Tennessee when I was about 6 years old. And it had a lot of gullies in it. And a lot of those gullies had pieces of cars, things in it, you know. I wish I had some of those cars out of that gully. I might could get some money out of it now, you know. But I remember those old pieces of car they put in the gully, you know, to try to stop it from washing away. But I look back on it now, and it just reminds me, hey, it's temporary. Everything is temporary. I told you all the other day, I'll tell you again tonight, as I was coming across Arkansas, it seemed like every 10 miles there was construction on the interstate, you know. Which reminded me that, hey, it's just temporary. I don't care whether it's steel, I don't care whether it's concrete, or what it is temporary. And that's why we look above. You see, if you have that blessed assurance, if you understand what it meant to be born of the Spirit, purchased by God, washed in His blood, if you understand that, then heaven becomes everything to you. And not this world. Not this world. Bless her heart, my wife, she got a new car a couple of years ago. And she was so afraid that she was going to have a dent in it. You know, when she went to Walmart, you know those people that open their car doors, you know. So she parked way out in the parking lot. Keep that from happening. I'll never forget the first day she did that. She went to park way out there. We're going to have, well, it's all right. I don't mind walking, you know. Anyway, we walk out there. Anyway, we come out of the store, and as we're walking toward the car, I see someone else has done the same thing. They parked their car way out there, right beside ours. Guess what? They pegged our car. I don't care what you do. It's temporary. It's metal. It's glass. It's concrete. It's wood. It's going to deteriorate. The only thing that here is we have tonight that is going to be eternal is your soul that you've got within you right now. Your spirit. That's eternal. And one of these days it's going to stand before God. And unless you have that blessed assurance, you will have been living for nothing. For nothing. It would have been in vain. All the things that you tried to get in your life to make you happy, it would have been in vain. So tonight, I just want to help you to know that if you're a child of God, and if you've only got 10 inches left, I want you to know that I want you to live those 10 years in the peace of God, knowing that you have that blessed assurance because you are an heir of salvation, because you've been purchased by God, because you've been born of the Spirit, and you've been washed in the blood. So that when those 10 years are over, and there are no more, you will hear those words, "Welcome home." Amen. Welcome home. Do you have that assurance tonight? I pray that you do. If you don't, do something about it tonight while you can, as we stand in sight.
When we walk with the Lord in the light,